another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein, and has literally everybody guessed in the comments. There were no surprises. We could not keep this a secret. Everybody figured it out. Joined by Tom Grassi this week. Tom, it's been so long. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been so long. Now we got the graphics. We got this border that's going on. We got music. We're moving on up in the world. I like it.
We don't have a fan of the year budget, but we're getting there. So.
It's all right. The NFL didn't either, so it's fine. It's fine.
We have like, talk about it.
Fancier.
Yeah.
Just her.
Yeah.
We're upgrading.
It's a new team, new season, new intro. We just got rock. That's it.
Tom, it has been so long that we haven't even gotten to like formally like quote unquote in person because we're all digital. Congratulate you on fan of the year, but that's so cool, and it happened so many months ago now that it's like old news.
I appreciate it. No, yeah, it's still now the whole like year and a half, or just like the past year has just been a whirlwind. Like it's just been insanity, like ever since last June, and it just hasn't stopped. And I thought that this summer would be like a nice reprieve. It was not. It's been busier than ever, but it's been like such good busy and just like different things that I've never done before. So yeah, it's been a wild ride.
I have two comments for that. One is you do that to yourself.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Can't relate.
As a friend, like 100%. You choose to do that. And two is like, that's what life should be, you know, mm-hmm. like new experiences, go on the journey. You never know what you're going to do. And I love that you take us all with you, you know, like you get to do all this stuff and you also share it with, I don't know, the hundreds of thousands of people that follow you, which is sick because it's so fun to go with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's really like 30 and 30 was just such a, I'm still like feeling the effects, thankfully not my back anymore, but like still feeling the effects of 30 and 30. Because that's what, like, the fan of the year thing, that was the Super Bowl, that was the Combine, like, that was all of that stuff just happened within that year, post 30 and 30. And so it's just been wild, because, like, that was just an insane risk of something that I never thought I would do ever, of just like, yeah, I'm going to spend a bunch of money to go to all the NFL stadiums and raise money for charity. And it turned into the insanity that it was. So, yeah, it's been crazy. It's just been getting used to the new crazy.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that I wanted to ask you, too, like, obviously, fan of the year is such an incredible honor that was well deserved. 30 for 30 was incredible. But what's it like, you know, you have 656,000 followers on YouTube, so that is climbing, you know, over 300 million views. You've been on YouTube since 2015. Now, of course, raising over $1 million for charity, and your tagline, of course, being that you don't have to be a Packer fan, but it sure does help. Like, how does it feel to have broken out of the Packer sphere into just like the NFL sphere of being recognized by not just, you know, people in Green Bay?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because like 2018, like this, that's a thing too. These past 3 years have been really crazy, like as a whole, the past year in general. But I have been unsuccessful longer than this has been successful, right? I mean, because this is my 9th year doing this now. It'll be 10 years next year. So nearly almost a third of my life literally has been dedicated to this. Which I love. But in 2018, the reason that date like really stands out to me is because that's when Aaron Rodgers got hurt, right? Or was that 2017?
Both.
Yeah. Both. Yeah, it was both. 2017 got hurt, 2018 stayed in. But yeah, so collarbone and then that. So it was the Packers like weren't really that good. And it was a matter of I had already done some NFC North stuff just to really just give me more information on teams that we play twice a year. It was like, okay, cool. Like I could have these informed conversations. I'm talking to these new fans every single week of the opposing team that we're going to play. So I've been learning more about the NFL for like 3 years at that point, just from every fan base's perspective. And then it was like the reaction videos. I just had a lot of fun being like, okay, I want to be accurate. Like, what is it like to be a Panthers fan? Turns out sad, but like I wanted to kind of like get in the mindset of that. And then like Panthers fans would be like, hey, we don't get a ton of coverage unless it's usually a really negative one. So, like, I appreciate you getting it right. So, like, those videos take, like, hours and hours of research just for, like, the season reaction stuff. And that's kind of how, like, I broke into all these other fan bases. And I was like, listen, you know, my stuff might not be the most high tech or anything like that, but it's going to be accurate, right? It's going to be quick and it's going to be accurate. So, I really try hard on that. And then for it to finally be recognized during 30 and 30 because I was like, I don't know if there's going to be people who even come out to these fan events. And then we had over 300 people at some of these fan events. And I was like, oh, so that was wild because usually I'm just talking to myself or a camera.
It's just funny and relatable. Like, it's just that that's what it is. And I think that's why you draw so many people in, because it's not, it's accurate, right? It's like,
sure,
it's perfectly accurate and on like cue with what's actually like happening in the NFL. Like, it's very on the pulse, but it's so relatable. It's almost impossible to get like mad at.
Yeah.
Like, what are you gonna get mad at?
So like, I love the Packers, right? So like, I know everything that I know about the Packers because I love this team. I love this sport. So I'm like, if I put like this much passion and enthusiasm into like the other fan bases as well, and just be like, hey, there's someone out there that loves the Arizona Cardinals just as much, if not more, than I love the Green Bay Packers. And that's crazy. And like, that's, I love talking to those people and hearing their story about, you know, either it's inherited or like they were spiting somebody or they were following in their footsteps, you know, et cetera. I like talking to people. And I think just meeting all of the people that I've met just in the past year alone and just all these fans and now internationally, it's just so cool, man, to like bring all these people together who didn't know each other beforehand. They have that commonality now. And I mean, the international stadium tour, people were leaving and they were like, hey, this person lives a block away from me and we're going to watch NFL games together now. Cause like, that's, it's awesome. Still super niche because you had like all these people coming out and they didn't know, you know, and now they made friends.
I mean, it was awesome coming to the New York one. I mean, naturally it was like easy for me. And like, we knew New York has a lot of Packers fans, but like, you happened to do it during that like really crazy, like bad weather that we had.
Canada was on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the fires were making it like horrible weather in New York. Like, you like probably shouldn't have been outside and like breathing. And we still had what, like maybe 100 people in Bryant Park.
Yeah. And it was like really diverse too. There was a ton of different fans in New York City, which makes sense. I mean, there's so many people in New York City, but
but it was awesome. It was just like awesome to see. And like, it was funny because I was going to say, if you've ever been in Bryant Park, like post work, there's just like, it's just like a spot, you know, people go, they chill, whatever. So there's lots of like normal people. And then all of a sudden you just see like flocks of people in like NFL gear, like infiltrating. And we're all like, we know why you're here.
It was great because like, that is what stood out like during the international tour too. I was like, oh, like, where is everybody? Because like, I'd never been to these places before. Like, I'd never been to these venues. And I just had to follow NFL jerseys. I was like, okay, they're right over there. So yeah, it was just like a beacon of where the people were at.
That's incredible. I love that. So I want talking about like your YouTube channel and the growth that you've seen from that, I wanted to ask you like what your favorite things to do are. Is it like the live streaming of the Packer games? Is it the coach series? Is it the fan reacts? Is it working with like Perna and some of the other people you get to talk to? Like, what is your favorite part of being a YouTube creator?
That's a great question. I mean, there's a couple things that stand out. Anything that like really forces me to be creative, I really like. So for example, like I started last season, week two, I had an idea and I was like, you know, that whole like NFL scripted joke. I was like, I don't know if that's been run into the ground, but I have like an idea of like, it could be a series. It could be pretty good. And it is now the most popular thing I've ever done. So like, it's the most popular series. Literally, I created it year 8 and people are like, this is the greatest thing you've ever done. So I really enjoy that because it forces me to like creatively recap the week, but like go back and be like, okay, like if this was scripted, how would this get talked about? Right. And so I do really enjoy that. The game streams have been insane because I stream. Oh, boy. So now
a lot.
It's every Packers game since 2018, every primetime game for the past 3 years, every playoff game for the past 3 or 4 years at this point. So I stream minimum Packers game Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. And that's just the games. And then Saturdays when those games start. I love streaming. Like,
you don't
miss
watching like in other settings?
Because the way that I look at it is I love football. And so I'm going to watch the game anyway. Right. So that's when I originally started in 2018 streaming Packers games. I was like, I'm already watching this and I'm already going nuts. And I'm yelling at the TV and like, you know, being a fan. So I might as well like turn a camera on, maybe there'll be some people that join. And like, I remember very vividly, like, 8 people being in there, 9 people being in there, like nobody talking. I remember the first Q&A I did, like there were no questions. It was just me going, all right, well, I guess I'll answer this question that I've made up on the top of my head. So I've like gone through it and have seen when there's 8 people in the live stream, and the past 49ers Packers game for the divisional round, we had 50,000 people in there at once. So to see that evolve and to see the same people show up every single week and the community just get stronger and stronger and the raids of smaller channels to like help out smaller creators. Like, yeah, it's one of my favorite things because it allows for the most interaction.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess in a weird way, it's like being at the bar with strangers where you become like, I watched the Bucks championship with a couple friends at a bar a block from my house, and we just sat there like high-fiving strangers, and it was so fun because you all have like a collective interest. So to be able to bring that experience for people who maybe live alone, you know, or don't have a community near them, you know, Packers
or live
fans
in Germany,
and, like, Wyoming.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning,
right,
you know?
Yeah, like that's a very cool atmosphere that you provide for them.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's just, and again, like, everybody's welcome, just don't be an a-hole, like that's it, right. It's super easy, like just don't be a terrible person. Like, it's all good. So
I feel like the idea of community changed a lot post-COVID also, mm-hmm. Where like community in person, like it doesn't have to be in person, right? So like the streaming idea, to Maggie's point, of like providing that platform or that like environment for people to like watch together, it feels more real now because we at one point didn't have any other choice. And now it's like, okay, yeah, hop in a stream, watch with everyone. And it feels more close-knit. It feels very real. Mm-hmm. And that's really nice, especially like, I mean, again, as someone who grew up, you too, Tom, in a place where not everyone around you is the same fan as you. No. You don't necessarily have that. I don't have any Packers. I mean, now I have Packer fan friends in New York because I've sought them out. But sure, like growing up, I didn't at all. I was like the odd man out. And so like if I had that would have been awesome. I just had my family.
Yeah. I mean, we also grew up in the days of like MySpace and like, you know, things like that where the internet wasn't like, we had Cheesehead TV, right? Like like being a blog, like, yeah, like they were like one of the first blogs to be like, hey, like we're going to talk about the Packers. We're going to rock with this. And I think just the way that's evolved over time, because if you're a fan, I think for the most part, like, you seek out other fans. Like, I will remember vividly the first Packers game I went to. It was the game that Brett Favre, this was Michael Strahan's sack record. We won like 35-3. That was my first NFL game. And like, that was one of the first time I saw like a group of Packers fans. And I had been a Packers fan since I was 6. So I'd been a few years now. And like, I think I had a hat, maybe a jacket that was Packers. I'd never been to Green Bay. I didn't go to Green Bay until I was in my 20s when I could afford it. Mm-hmm. And those kind of things are relatable, right? Like people who are international, people who live in New York, people who live anywhere else besides Green Bay, Wisconsin, you know, you gravitate towards like those little things. Like I still see a Packers hat like in the street in New York. And I'm like, go. Like you have to.
Same.
Because like that's that community and like that commonality that brings you all together.
So was it a trip being international? Like, was it even weirder being international and being like, because the NFL is inherently like, people outside of the U.S. call it American football. I mean, it is so American, right? And we know now that it's spread so far and wide, right? They're doing all these games international. I mean, the Packers are going to Brazil this year, week 1. So was it even more of a trip to like meet international Packers fans, or did it not feel so crazy?
I think it wasn't as crazy because for years they had been in the streams. And I think like when we're watching Sunday Night Football and it's 2 o'clock in the morning in Germany when the game is starting and they're like, well, I got to get up in a few hours to go to work. And like, I'm staying up for 3.5 hours to watch the Packers. Like it was years ago that I was like, oh, like these are diehard fans. Like you got to be pretty hardcore to be like, hey, I'm going to get 2 hours of sleep and then go to work for a full day so I can watch my football team. That's across literally an ocean. So it wasn't as surprising, but I think it was just I will say, so 30 and 30 was insane. And we had a lot of people come out for 30 and 30. In Germany, like that was probably one of the first times where I was like, is this like what famous people go through? And it's weird for like me to talk about because like I'm just not that person. But for like me to go there and like the thank yous for coming of like, I can't tell you how appreciative people were of like, thank, like, this is my connection to the Packers, right? So the fact that you flew to Munich or Frankfurt and like you're here, like bringing all of us together, like that was such a surreal, like I have goosebumps talking about it. Like that was such a surreal, like humbling experience of like, damn, I'm talking to people who may never ever go to Lambeau Field. Like they may never get that opportunity to do so. I met plenty of fans who never had a jersey before, right? Because it's too expensive to ship over. So it kind of, one, humbles you a lot, but two, it's that relatability that while I wasn't an ocean away, I was over 1,000 miles away from Lambeau. It took 2 decades for me to get there. And so it was kind of like that, like, I understand. Like, I understand you. Like, I wish all the Packers games were on TV. They're not. You know, and these fans, they were just getting the Super Bowl once a year and still were Packers fans, right? Like, that's fandom. And I think that that's just, it's really cool.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you too. And I know it's hard to commit to going to games that aren't the preseason because obviously sure. you are a streamer and people rely on you. So if you're streaming every game, you can't really be there in person. But I have had the privilege of talking to Packers Brazil a ton, and those are some diehards. So knowing that the Packer game is week one in Brazil against the Eagles, you ended your tour in Brazil. Like, what was that experience like? What are those fans like? Because I know, you know, for years they had begged the NFL, like, send us the Packers. We will show you what fandom looks like. And it, by all accounts, I just can't wait for them to get there.
I've been telling people, like, they have no idea how much of a home game this is going to be for the Packers. Like, wow. And it's going to get crazy. Like, it is. The crowds are going to be insane. They are beyond excited. And I wanted to go to Brazil for a number of reasons, because I could have just done the Europe part, right? And been like, okay, like, let's go to London. Let's go to Germany. And then maybe I'll stop in Madrid or something. But I was like, that's not encompassing of everybody, right? So like, no, we're going to Mexico and then we're going to Brazil. And like, I've never been to Brazil before. I've never been to Germany before, never been to Spain before, never been to London before. So like all these places were brand new for me. And to go to Brazil, a place that I never thought I'd have the opportunity to go, and to immediately be like, hey, you can wear the color green. And I knew this because you could just talk to anybody from Sao Paulo, right? And be like, this is dumb. To really see the commitment from fans there and to see how, you know, before this point, the NFL like didn't really do a whole lot for Brazil, and like the NFL and just the accessibility was really, really difficult. It's gotten so much better, especially abroad, but it is going to be crazy there. I'm so excited that the week one game is in Brazil, and like those fans, it is a, when you land in the airport in Sao Paulo, there is a big like electronic bulletin board that is for a credit card. And it had like the NFL logo on it, and it had like the Packers and the Eagles on it. And I was like, oh, I wonder like what this is. And it wasn't until later that they literally have an offering that you could go get a credit card just so you can get into the pre-sale to try and get tickets to this one game in Brazil.
Wow.
Like that's how much of a hot ticket it is. And it's going to be nuts, because the people who are going to like get there, they're just going to scream their heart out. And I can't wait for the world to see it.
That just like makes me so happy. I just like it just like warms my heart. Not even like Packers, just the NFL means so much to us and to Americans. And like, it's so huge here. I mean, yes, we have baseball, we have the NBA, we have people love all that, but like there really is truly nothing like the NFL in the US. And it doesn't surprise me that it's spread worldwide, but I do think it's taken some time, and I'm really glad that the NFL is capitalizing on it. Like they're seeing that the market is there. There's people internationally that love this sport. And while it's maybe not played internationally, like soccer, right, or even baseball, sure, for instance, is like there's still a way to spread the love and the joy that the NFL brings to other countries. And it's hard, right? Like logistically, this is difficult.
Sure.
And it messes with the schedule, it potentially messes with players, like, but it's worth it. Like it's just it's worth it. It's, I mean, we keep going back to this word, but like it's community building. Like it's really bringing people together. And I'm excited to see how it goes in South America. Like we've done the Europe thing, I think a few years now, and it's going really well. But I really think that like there, it's just going to blow everybody away.
I think it's also going to be a very different kind of experience than, like, so for example, like in Germany, those crowds are pretty great too. The London crowds are great too, don't get me wrong. They just have had the games more often. Mm-hmm. But like Germany, right? Like they're singing Take Me Home Country Road like every single time that they're over there. Like the chants are going to be nuts. When I went to Madrid, like going into that stadium, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I had the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl this past year, right? Which was nuts. First Super Bowl, all this stuff. The amount of energy and how loud it was in Madrid, in the Bernabeu, just celebrating Real Madrid winning their 15th title, right? It was louder and more energetic than the Super Bowl, like significantly more. And so, like, when a game is going to get played there, when you have the diehard NFL fans who have been waiting for years, who have been watching it since the 90s, and they were getting results, like, a week or a month later. So, like, week one would happen, they wouldn't know until week two. Because then they'd have, like, a little thing on the TV of, like, oh, this is what happened in week one. Or they'd get it a month later. Or they would just get the Super Bowl, right? For years and decades, that's all they would get. And so to have like that, that's what the International Stadium Tour was to also show, because there's definitely people who are like, oh, we're missing out on a home game. You know, it should be played here. It should be played in this, whatever, whatever. The amount of fandom and love that these fans have for this sport is beyond anything that I have seen. So for you to have that level of commitment, yeah, they deserve a few games. And so like, yeah. I'm super excited for Brazil. I was so happy to go meet fans over there. Because like they are some of the most passionate fans I've ever met.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I think it's really cool too. Like, and it kind of works both ways. Where like we've seen in the last couple seasons now, the NFL's like international player pathway. The Packers have Kenneth Odemegwu on their roster. So like the game, not even just like from a fan perspective, but actual like really talented athletes being able to come over and like experience the NFL. Has been really cool. So we talked about Brazil a little bit. Obviously, you will not be there because you'll be streaming with all the fans who weren't lucky enough to get a credit card to get That's tickets true. To that game. But let's talk about the season, like games you're most excited to see, opponents you're most excited about, maybe a record prediction or where you think the Packers are going to go. Yes,
how are you feeling about this team, boy?
I'm like beyond excited about this football team. Like, I mean, how could you not be? Like, they are like the youngest team and they almost knocked off the defending NFC champions, mm-hmm. right? Like, how could you not be? Because I feel like, yes, there's going to be more expectations this season. And last year was, I try explaining this to people and I know it always comes out as like, but like last year, was also, I know starting the season, it was a bit of a relief to be like, it's nice to have zero expectations for this year. And it's a completely, right, it's suffering from success. But it's when you have a Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, okay, they're your quarterback, it's expected you're winning the Super Bowl every single year. And we're lucky enough, you know, that we were able to go to three with two quarterbacks and win two, but not getting there. And every year you're like, well, that's another year down. Oh, that's going to be a different team next year. Oh, we're not going to have those guys next year. Oh, it's going to cost more money. And to just be like, what are we doing at safety? And Mark Murphy's like, nah, I don't know. What are we doing at wide receiver? Everyone's under 25 years old except one person. Okay, fine. And it literally was like, throw your hands up and be like, we'll see what happens. I mean, they traded Rasul Douglas, right? And they're kind of just like, yeah, all right, well, we'll see what happens. And then they go on a run and they're the first 7 seed to win a game, you know, in this new playoff format. So I'm excited for the offense, of course, you know, and Love, and just continuing to see those receivers develop. I'm excited for our running backs. I'm excited to see like what nuance there's going to be there. The only thing that, of course, is I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about is the defense. And mm-hmm. it's just because we just don't know. We don't know about Stokes. We don't know about Halfley. I love everything they're saying. I love everything that he was saying in his press conference. I was like, I like what Mike Pettine was saying. Joe Barry, I don't ever know if I liked what he was saying, but at least here, I'm like, they're at least trying to address it. And I think the biggest indicator was going and getting McKinney. Mm-hmm. Because like explaining this to non-Packers fans, be like, no. When Goody went crazy years ago and got the Smith Bros and Billy Turner and Adrian Amos, I remember I was teaching and I was like, really? I was in first period. I was like, I can't talk about this for 9 hours. And this is like historic for the Packers. For them to go out and win a bidding war and get McKinney and address that spot and then address it in the draft again, this is not a, hey, we need to win now, but that is definitely where it's going. And like, I don't think there's going to be anybody really surprised if the Packers wind up going all the way this year, because I think like that's the kind of level of what we're talking about. If that defense can be a top 15 defense and the offense can stay at where they were and or maybe a little bit better, we're rocking. So
I think what's really cool about that too is, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers had always said, like, people come to Green Bay to play with me. And he was largely right. Like, playing with Aaron Rodgers, there's an appeal. There's a reason that free agents tried to go to the Jets to play with him. Like, he, wherever he goes, he's going to draw a crowd. So to hear guys like just straight up say, yeah, I came to the Packers because I wanted to play with Jordan Love. I think they have a young roster. I really like Matt LaFleur. Like, it's really cool to see that, because I think that's what a lot of fans were so concerned about, was like, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers is gone. What's this kind of chapter going to look like? You know, Mark joked that, hey, if we want to sell some season tickets, like, what's it going to look like? Are people going to just like get off of the wait list? You know, if like, if this team's bad for a couple of years, and then, you know, that whole 6 weeks where we weren't sure was a lot of suffering on our part. And then now all of a sudden there's all this energy again around being a Packers fan. So it's, I think it's been cool to see from a league perspective too, that like Packers fans are always going to like ride or die with the team and be high on them. But to hear free agents and, you know, everyone else like, oh yeah, I think they're going to be really good. It's like, oh, okay. Like, this, here we are again.
It also just heightens, because like now there's this talk about like CJ Stroud and Jordan Love, right? And just like now there's like comparisons being made between the two. And CJ Stroud's awesome. I think he's a great quarterback. I think that someone asked me this recently and they were like, why is there such like a negativity surrounding Jordan Love when like things first came out? Or maybe why is he not talked about in the same echelon as CJ Stroud? And I was like, well, that's easy. I mean, you had a good chunk of the league that was anticipating and hoping that he was awful, right? I mean, you have our entire division that was like, Packers can't do it again. A whole bunch of the NFC, Packers can't do it again, because then it's just like a wealth of riches to get three good quarterbacks in a row. And I think for him to have the week one, which put the entire Bears fan base and franchise into a tailspin, and I'm not like exact, it did. Like, there were some existential crises that were going on after that. But for them to do poorly and everybody jumping on that and be, and listen, the Packers were a bad football team at times last year. Like, they were a bad, bad football team. Like, when they were playing like the Broncos, they were not that good. When they're, there were some rough games in there. And I wrote about it. I was like, yeah, the Packers aren't good, but we don't know yet. Like, this is, oh, okay, this is Jordan Love's fourth game. Let's be honest. Like, let's be serious now.
Yeah. Well, I think a few things there, Tom, that you hit on is, one, like, the comparison with CJ, I get, because like, they simply just both had their breakout seasons in the same season. Like, that's really it, right? Otherwise, there isn't really a comparison there for me. Like, CJ was a rookie and had an amazing rookie season, and good for CJ, right? Like, amazing. I love CJ. I think the Texans are gonna be awesome. And I get the comparisons between the two teams, right? Because they're the AFC's kind of like young up and comer team with their young quarterback, right? Second year, etc. But Jordan's story and the Packers story could not be more different from the Texans story. Jordan had years behind a Hall of Fame quarterback. He was a developmental prospect who didn't play for three seasons. Like, they are not apt comparisons, like, by any stretch of the imagination. So again, same breakout seasons. They're going to play each other this season. I think like the two are going to be linked in that way for a long time now, especially they were both the seventh seed. They both went out and had really good playoff games. One didn't, whatever. It doesn't matter. Awesome. Like, I'm rooting for CJ Stroud, but like, I just, the comparison to me is like an interesting one, because if you really look at their beginnings, they're actually like not the same at all. Yeah. And to your second point, like, the Packers being having their struggles throughout the beginning of the season were not really Jordan's struggle. Yeah, like, yes, he had plenty of his own struggles, but it was like a holistic struggle. And it's very easy. You're always, as the quarterback, going to like shoulder a lot of the blame, because that's just the nature of the sport, and that's the nature of being the quarterback. But like, I have gone back and watched some of those games just like out of curiosity, honest, because like, recency bias, so real. And it wasn't really him. Like, a lot of it was like, where are your receivers, man? They're not in the right place. And like, your offensive line is Swiss cheese, and there's no run game, right? No. So again, Jordan is, and this is something he's going to deal with for his entire career. You are going to get blamed when things go wrong, and you're going to get more of the praise when things go right. Like, this is a full team sport, but it was fun to watch the arc because, again, team sport, as things holistically got better, obviously Jordan started to succeed more because that's just how this goes.
Yeah, receivers developed a little bit more. They had more of a bond. That you had the offensive line, which got significantly better. And I mean, but so you remember week three, right? So that's the Saints game where they come back and they beat the Saints. So it's this awesome comeback. Yes, they blew it against the Falcons the week prior. The negativity around Jordan Love, then it was, well, is he completing enough passes?
Oh my God, the deep ball.
But that's what I mean, right? So it was even when they were winning, well, I don't know. He didn't hit this metric. So I think there was always going to be some negativity surrounding that. I think some of that was dispelled because of the way Aaron Rodgers left. I think if Aaron Rodgers left after his MVP season, I think the microscope that Jordan Love would have been under would have been significantly more. And so, yes, while we could sit here and be like, oh, we should have traded him after this, I think having another year, Tom Clements again, like having another offseason, working on the footwork, like it paid off, and he went through the struggles last season, and I'm sure there's still going to be growing pains, right? That last throw against the 49ers is not great, but that's what you expect a very young quarterback to do. And so I could not be more excited. I think they're getting around 10 or 11 wins, and then they make it into the postseason. Watch out.
They're everybody's dark horse this year. Like, I don't, not even dark. I just, they're everybody's like kind of like watch out pick. If you guys listen to Mina Kimes, she's had I think she said Ryan Clark and Kyle Brandt on to do like Power Hour recently on her show. And she's basically asking her guests to like rank, just like power rank the teams going into the season. And the Packers for both of those guys and her are in top 10, like easy top 10, like top 7. Yeah. I mean, they like, when you talk about expectations, Tom, like this is not just expectations from Packers fans because of what we watched last season, and because like we know this team in and out. Like, this is expectations league wide. This is like everybody got put on notice, especially that Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Even the 49ers game, like going toe to toe with the champions, with the representatives for the NFC and the Super Bowl, like they put the league on notice. And now we're going into the season saying, okay, like this team has potentially what it takes to go all the way. We see you, but now you have to perform. And that's going to be, I think, what everybody looks for, especially in this young team. And I think based on what we saw last year and their ability to kind of like let everything roll off their backs, I feel confident that they're going to kind of just like keep that same mindset. But that's the only thing that makes me worried, is that like whether expectations are going to feel heavy or not.
Sure. And so I'm going to tell you a very quick story. So when I was in Vegas in February, I got invited to a St. Jude dinner. And at this dinner was Kevin Burkhardt, who's the commentator for Fox. And we talked afterwards, and he said that he was talking to Shanahan, and he was like before the Packers 49ers game. And you know, it was the 7 seed. They just beat the Cowboys, what have you. And they're kind of just like talking a lot of it's like coach speak, whatever, whatever. And that's kind of what he was expecting from Shanahan. And Shanahan like stopped and was like, no, like this team is good. Like we're going to have a tough time like against them. Like they are going to like they're coming to play. And they did. I mean, like the Packers could have won that game. So I think it's not even just like outside folks seeing it. It's like people within the league and even like coaches who are like, oh, like Jordan Love, it was that Thanksgiving game, man. Like it was once we went into Detroit, which I'll be very honest, I picked the Packers to win every single week because I'm a homer. Now, do I think they'll win? That's a different story, but I'm going to pick them to win always. That game, I was like, oh, we're injured really bad. Like it could be a rough Thanksgiving. It could be a rough, and they beat the pants off of them. Like, so for that to happen, I was like, oh, things are starting to click now. And you saw just like everybody get more confident. And you had, what was that, the game when LaFleur like was like, oh, maybe we should change this first play to Jordan. Jordan's like, no, like we're going out there and we're doing that. I forget which game that was for.
I think that was Detroit.
Yeah, I think it was Detroit too. So like that, just that confidence as well as like a young QB with a young team. They're gelling together. There was the story with Aaron Rodgers. It was Romeo Dobbs. They're like, oh, they're not going out to the clubs together. Is there problems in the locker room? And I'm like, no, this is dumb. Like one's a 22-year-old and the other one's nearly 40. So like you don't have that now, right? Like Aaron Jones, and why we love Aaron Jones, like the amount of people and players that stood up for Jordan Love last year, even when there were struggles, like that's what you want to see. That's the bonding. Perry, you mentioned things like rolling off your back. Yeah, and like heading into this year, there's going to be like a new level of confidence with that team because it's like, oh no, we know we can win now. Let's go do it.
I like want that swag. Like, I just feel mm-hmm. like there's something about that. I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Have that swag. You've earned it. Mm-hmm. Don't get too crazy with it. Sure. Like, stay humble. But like, you've earned it. And also like, I think there for a long time with some old Aaron Rodgers teams, there was like not enough fear.
I agree.
People, right? Like people weren't really afraid. They were afraid of Rodgers.
They're afraid of Aaron Rodgers.
Because he you should be.
Yeah.
But the as a whole, people stopped being afraid of the Green Bay Packers. And I like to see from your story, Tom, like, good. You should be afraid. Like, let's turn this on its head a little bit.
Like the Packers in my lifetime, literally for 30, like they're a finesse team and there's nothing wrong with that. Right. And it's kind of like, oh, but there have been times where they are not a finesse team. And those teams are usually pretty good. Like when their defenses are really good, like you go back to the Seattle game, right? The defense played lights out in that game. You look at the run to the Super Bowl and their opportunistic turnovers all the time. Charles, like, these are the kind of things that like build championships. And I'm not saying the Packers are going to go out there and be immediately successful because their defense, it's a brand new scheme. It's a brand new coach. It's brand new people. Like there's going to be an acclimation period, right? I remember when in 2018, when it was like, oh, week one, we got a defense. Like I remember we got it. And then yeah, for a little bit, we had a defense and then not so much anymore. So my expectations are tempered for the defense. So I'm going to look to the offense because for the past couple seasons, we've been looking at the defense. Goody said we were looking at the defense to kind of carry the weight while the offense figured it out. That was for Rodgers last season. That was for Love last, and it just didn't work out. The defense never really picked it up to that level where they needed to. And so if they can be effective and gel just like the offense did last year and become a top 15 team, please, and just stopping the run at least, you know, this is a different team than you had last year, and I think it's a better one.
And I think what's so funny, too, is like the narrative has shifted so much just from our own perspectives as people that talk about the Packers and talk about football so much. Like midway through last season, guys like Jair were getting really irritated in the locker room because it was like, hey, defense, like, are you tired of like pulling the weight for the offense? And they'd be like, no, these are big boys. Like they're grown men. The offense is, they get paid too. Like they're going to go out there and do their job. But what I was just saying is like, it's so funny to see the dynamic shift where the beginning of last season, we were like, all right, defense, like you're gonna have to carry it for the offense. And we're not used to that as Packer fans. Cause it's always been Aaron Rodgers and the offense carrying the defense. And now already like within half a season, we're like, all right, offense, you're in your second year. Now you guys are, you're going to have to pull some weight for this brand new defensive scheme. Like it's just always.
How crazy
scenario.
Is that
like,
though?
Always...
How crazy is that?
That's called trauma and experience. That's what that is. Like, no, I can't rely on you. I can't. Cause every time I do, you break my heart. So even in that Cowboys game, like near the end. And I was like, okay, they're scoring now. Can we stop now? Okay. We pulled Jordan. Okay. We're putting him back. Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. So, yes, I think that those concerns are very valid, and we just don't know, right? Like, Halfley, like, has all the experience, like, plays an NFL type of defense, like, has kept an ear out for the NFL the entire time, and that's all well and good. It's just we got to see what the team looks like.
Well, it's, like, execute. It's just – right now it's all theoretical. Like, the, exactly. I keep saying, like, with the defense, it's like, yeah, I like it in theory, but I can't judge a single thing. I'm not going to know if I like it until it's like week four. Like, I don't know. It sounds great. But they've hurt me too many times for me to trust anything in preseason.
And I think like what's so funny too about all of this is like, I'm not like trying to call anyone casual or say like, oh, we all got to watch more film, but like it might not visually look that different from what we're used to seeing, right? Like schematically, like maybe there'll be like some drops in coverage or, you know, some creative blitzes that we haven't like historically seen. But if base right now in the NFL is like nickel and, you know, he gets out there and, you know, like Keyshawn Nixon is your starting nickel on like, you know, week one, play one. And everyone's like, this is the same. Like, we're not going to know. We're just not going to know. Like, it might not visually look that different. I think it's going to be like Perry and I talk about this a lot is, you know, like you might have a big nickel package and a little nickel package, and you might have like different players that rotate in at dime. Like sometimes it could be Javon Bullard. Sometimes it could be Evan Williams. Like,
sure.
I think that's where the creativity is going to come in. But as far as like the base defense, I don't think we're just going to be like, ah, yes, now I see the change.
Radically different. Of course.
Surprisingly, Maggie and I talk about all of the cornerback packages.
Yeah. As you should. Well, and again, like that, but that's what I love to see too, because last year, and like, listen, Valentine played great. Like the Valentines of the world, the Keyshawn Nixons of the world. I was like, yeah, the Rudy Fords, like in the state, like, yeah. But like, we are running like a ragtag group back there that we just said, all right, let's hopefully you can go play football. And I think just to have a veteran, like even having McKinney there as a veteran, and he's young and he's so good. Like you don't, like safeties are very undervalued in the NFL. They've always been undervalued, but like to get McKinney, who is legit, like in the prime of his career, still super duper young and can literally change that backfield just by being there. I mean, again, it's just the team should not be worse than they were last year. And they almost knocked off the reigning NFC champions.
Yeah. Okay. Two like quick hitter questions before we let you go. Rookie you're most excited about and matchup you're most excited about.
I like this.
All right. Do I go running back here? Because getting real excited. Getting real excited about a certain running back.
Me too.
Perry's been the Lloyd train for a very long time.
I cannot wait to see Lloyd. Like, I think it's going to be sick. I mean, if Josh Jacobs could just stay upright and stay healthy, like they got a better run offensive line than the Raiders ever had. Like, yeah, it's going to be sick. So like if he's not one, he's two. The other guy that I'm actually Bullard, I'm really excited to see too, but I think Coop, like I really want to see Edrin Cooper and how he's going to play there. Cause Quay Walker is my like guy for the season. I was like, he was our best middle linebacker last year. Like he's probably going to be our best middle linebacker this year. Let's see how he looks under Halfley. But like we desperately needed another linebacker. So no more Campbell. I think for them to take a swing on Cooper and the way that he tackles, man, if he could make a difference in the run defense, I'd be so happy. I'd be so, so happy. So that's one. And then Lloyd is a very, very close too, if not one. And then matchup, because we were talking about it, you can tell how much I want to talk about it. It's the Texans. I'm so upset that that's not a primetime game.
Yeah.
The whole AFC South, too, like Anthony Richardson, like that mobile QBs, like, let's see how we're going to do against that, right? Going up against Trevor Lawrence, like, that's going to be interesting. But yeah, CJ Stroud coming to Lambeau, I mean, come on. You have two very young teams. You have two teams that could be seeing themselves, you know, in a big game, maybe within the next like 5 or 10 years. So I think that's the game that I have circled because it's also going to be a really great test for the Packers. Cause like Perry, like I think the Texans are going to be really good this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Maggie and I were talking, we've been talking about the Texans matchup for a while, ever since the schedule came out. I mean, we already touched on it naturally, right? It's just like, they're kind of like, they came out of this season as like the young studs last year. And now they're going head to head. The NFL scripted. And it's going to be really, really, really fun to watch. My bet is it gets flexed out to a better slot.
I mean, it's 1 p.m. Eastern. Like, what are we doing out here?
It has to, right?
If their records are good, because what week is that? That's a little bit later, right?
It's middle end of October.
Okay. Yeah, I hope it does. It deserves to. If there's a game that, like, if they're both having good records, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, they need to. That needs to not be a noon game. That needs to be even a 4:25. Give me an America's Game of the Week. I'll take that too. That's fine.
All right, Tom, we appreciate you so, so, so much. I'm sure that everybody that follows our show knows who you are and follows your work already at Tom Grassi Comedy on YouTube and on Twitter. But if there's anything that you want to plug coming down the pike that you want to talk about, just your channel in general, anything you're excited about, please, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm going to Buffalo next Saturday. There's a Mafia Con thing, and it's all the net proceeds are going to charity. So I'm going to be there for like 3 hours signing stuff. So if you want to be there, it's all for charity. So that's cool. So plug that. And then, yeah, I do videos like every day. So you could find me or not. You don't have to. It's fine.
Tom, thank you again so much.
Appreciate
the chaotic
both.
Good that you bring into this world. Like, there is so many sad things and negative things and negativity, and especially, I mean, on the internet, on social media, in the football sphere, you know, people are just not always nice to each other. So no. The fact that you have, you know, your platform and your voice and your mission and raising over $1 million for charity, like, you are who we aspire to be. And just, I just can't thank you enough for joining us and for being our friend and for being such
appreciate
a wonderful person, because the world needs more Tom Grousies.
Listen, it feels good to do good. That's it, right? Like, the people, are you tired? Like, aren't you burnt out? Yeah, since 2019. But like, you show up, you know, to one of these like fan events, you show up to, you know, for the charity element of it, which is obviously the most important part. You know, helping people is a good thing, and you don't need to have 650,000 subscribers to do so. You know, so chaotic good, baby. Just do nice things just to be a kind person. That's it.
Love that. Tom, we will have to have you back eventually. I know your schedule's a little busy. You're kind of a busy guy. Got a lot of streaming and commitments to do the rest of the season. But thank you, as always, for listening to the Packs What She Said podcast. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, on YouTube at Packs What She Said, Perry on Twitter at Perry_Goldstein, me on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney. We'll be back next week with the topic. We don't know what it is yet, but we'll be back. As always, make sure you check out Tom at Tom Grassi Comedy. And the season's almost here, so enjoy it. And we'll see you soon. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.